Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time, we are tackling something that's really important to me, and I think actually affects the majority of people out there. We're going to be diving into trauma-informed therapy. So, yeah,
that was a big one.
Yeah, it's a huge one, and I think, you know, it's a really different way of approaching mental health care. We're going to be looking at excerpts today from What is Trauma-Informed Therapy? Understanding its core principles. And I think one of the most powerful takeaways from this whole approach is that instead of asking what's wrong with you, it asks what happened to you.
Yeah, that's a really crucial shift, isn't it?
It is a huge shift because it acknowledges that so many of the struggles that we face as adults, you know, stem from experiences that we've had earlier in life or throughout our lives. And over 70% of adults worldwide have experienced at least one traumatic event in their lives. So this isn't, like I said, it's not a niche thing. This affects most of us in some way.
So trauma is not always what you might think, you know, like a really big event. But any experience that overwhelms your ability to cope.
Yeah.
And the effects of those experiences can be long lasting.
So give me an example. Like, how would you differentiate between different types of trauma?
So if you were in a car accident and you still have nightmares about it, that could be what's called acute trauma. But say you were living in a high crime neighborhood. That ongoing stress could be considered chronic trauma. Then you have situations where people experience multiple traumas, often interpersonal ones. And this can lead to complex trauma.
It's like layers upon layers of experiences that the brain's trying to process.
And this is where the neuroscience gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because trauma doesn't just impact you emotionally. It actually changes the way your brain functions.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So walk me through that a little bit.
Well, different parts of your brain are responsible for different things. Like your amygdala. It's like your brain's alarm system. It's always scanning for danger. Then you have your hippocampus, which is like your memory keeper, filing your experiences away. And of course, your prefrontal cortex, like the executive control center, helps you to make decisions and manage your emotions. Trauma can disrupt all of these areas.
So it's like a system overload. Your alarm system is going haywire. Your memory keeper is misfiling things. And your control center can't keep up. That's why people just feel so overwhelmed after a traumatic experience.
Exactly. The amygdala can become overactive. It leads to this constant feeling of fight or flight, even when there's no real danger. The hippocampus might have trouble processing the memory properly, leading to fragmented memories or difficulty remembering details.
And what about the prefrontal cortex?
The prefrontal cortex can have a hard time doing its job, which is why people may struggle with things like concentration or decision-making and regulating their emotions after a trauma. We can't forget about the physical symptoms. Things like chronic pain, fatigue, or difficulty sleeping can all be linked to trauma too.
Yeah, this is what I find so compelling about this whole approach. It acknowledges that trauma isn't just in your head, it affects your whole being. So how does trauma-informed therapy address all of this? What makes it different?
Well, at its core, trauma-informed therapy is built on six key components. The first, and maybe the most crucial, is recognizing trauma. Therapists who are trained in this approach are kind of like detectives. They're looking for clues and patterns that might suggest a history of trauma. They're not just listening to what you're saying. They're paying attention to your body language, your emotional responses, and even those subtle shifts in your energy.
Wow. So even if I'm not directly talking about a traumatic event, a skilled therapist could pick up on those underlying signs.
Exactly. Then comes the screening and assessment phase. This is where therapists might use specific tools, like the adverse childhood experiences, questionnaires, or ACEs, to get a clearer picture of your trauma history. And this isn't about labeling you or judging you. It's about understanding the full context of your experiences.
Yeah, I remember reading about the ACE study. That was groundbreaking in terms of showing how early trauma can impact our long-term health and well-being.
It was revolutionary.
Yeah.
And speaking of safety and well-being, that's the third key component of trauma-informed care. This goes beyond just having a comfortable office space. It's about creating a space where you feel physically and emotionally safe to open up and share your experiences without fear of judgment.
It's like building a fortress of trust.
Right. And that leads us to the fourth component, building trust and rapport. This is so essential in any therapeutic relationship, but it's especially crucial in trauma-informed therapy because you're dealing with incredibly sensitive and often painful experiences.
I can only imagine how vulnerable someone must feel sharing those parts of themselves. I mean, it must take so much courage to even walk through the door.
It really does. And that's why a trauma-informed therapist prioritizes consistency, confidentiality, and clear communication. It's about being a reliable and supportive presence in your life.
That's beautiful. It sounds like a true partnership, a real collaborative effort between the therapist and the client. So, what are the final two components of trauma-informed therapy?
The fifth component is skill building and empowerment. Trauma-informed therapy doesn't just focus on talking about your experiences. It equips you with practical tools to manage the challenges that trauma can bring up in your life.
So this is where those light bulb moments come in, right? It's not just about reliving the trauma. It's about learning how to cope with the aftermath and build a more fulfilling life. What kind of skills are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about things like mindfulness techniques, grounding exercises, strategies for regulating your emotions, giving you back a sense of control and agency over your experiences.
That's so powerful. So it's shifting from feeling like a victim to becoming a survivor, even a thriver. So tell me about the sixth and final component.
The sixth component is all about avoiding re-traumatization. Trauma-informed therapists are incredibly mindful of their practices and how they might impact you. They're constantly evaluating whether something they say or do could unintentionally trigger a past trauma or make you feel unsafe.
So it's like they're walking on eggshells, but in a good way. They're just so hyper aware of the potential for harm, doing everything they can to create a safe and supportive environment for healing.
Exactly. It's about ensuring that the therapeutic process itself is a source of healing, not further trauma.
That's amazing. This has been so insightful. It's really clear that trauma-informed therapy is a completely different way of approaching mental health care. It's not about fixing what's wrong with you. It's about understanding what happened to you and creating a space for healing and growth.
Right.
This is incredible.
You know, it's amazing how much our understanding of trauma has evolved. It's not just about talking about the past anymore. We've developed these incredible techniques that can really help people to process and heal from trauma on a deeper level.
Oh, so spill the tea. What are some of these techniques that are changing the game for trauma survivors?
Well, one of the most well-known approaches is trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, or TFCBT for short. Have you ever noticed how your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are all kind of intertwined?
Oh, absolutely. Like when I'm stressed, I start overthinking everything, which makes me feel even more anxious. And then I just end up procrastinating on all my work. It's a vicious cycle.
Exactly. And trauma can really amplify those cycles.
Yeah.
TFCBT helps you to identify and challenge those distorted beliefs that might have developed as a result of the trauma. For instance, someone might believe it's all my fault or I'm not safe anywhere. And these beliefs can be so powerful, they can really keep you stuck in this cycle of fear and shame.
So it's about recognizing those thought patterns and then finding ways to kind of reframe them. So instead of it's all my fault, maybe it's more accurate to say, I did the best I could in a really difficult situation.
Exactly. It's about developing more balanced and realistic ways of thinking about the trauma. You know, it's not about denying or minimizing what happened, but rather shifting your perspective to one that's more empowering and self-compassionate.
I can see how that would be so helpful in breaking free from those negative thought loops. So, what other techniques are out there?
Let's talk about eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, or EMDR. This one often raises eyebrows because it involves eye movements. It might sound a little strange at first, but the results can be really remarkable.
Okay, I have to admit I'm intrigued, but also a little skeptical. How can moving your eyes back and forth possibly help with trauma?
Well, it's all about how the brain processes information. Think of it like this. When a traumatic experience happens, it's like your brain takes a snapshot of that moment, freezes it in time, along with all those intense emotions and sensations. EMDR uses bilateral stimulation, usually eye movements, to help your brain unfreeze those memories and process them more effectively.
So it's like hitting the play button on those frozen memories, allowing them to flow through and be integrated into your overall life story without holding so much power over you.
That's a great way to put it. It's not about erasing the memories, but rather changing how they're stored in your brain so they no longer trigger such intense distress.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. It's like taking the sting out of the memory so you can move forward without feeling constantly haunted by the past. Are there other techniques that work with the body in this way?
Absolutely. Somatic experiencing recognizes that trauma isn't just a mental experience. It's held in your body as well. Remember how we talked about the amygdala and the fight or flight response? When you experience trauma, your body goes into survival mode, releasing a surge of energy. That prepares you to either fight or flee.
Right, like a jolt of adrenaline. But what happens to that energy if you can't fight or flee? Like in situations where you're trapped or helpless?
That's the key point. That energy can get trapped in your body. And this can lead to all sorts of physical and emotional symptoms. Somatic experiencing focuses on gently releasing that trapped energy through awareness and movement.
So it's about learning to listen to your body's signals and finding healthy ways to discharge that built-up tension.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that your body holds wisdom and can guide you toward healing. And it's not always about big, dramatic movements. Sometimes it's about subtle shifts in your posture or your breathing that can make a world of difference.
I'm starting to see a theme here. Awareness. Empowerment. And finding ways to manage those difficult thoughts, feelings, and sensations that trauma can bring up. It's like we're building a whole toolkit for navigating the aftermath of trauma.
You're right. And there are even more tools in that toolkit. Mindfulness and meditation practices, for example, are incredibly valuable in developing present moment awareness and regulating emotions. They can help you to find a sense of calm amidst the storm.
I can definitely see how focusing on the present moment could be so grounding, especially when your mind is racing with anxious thoughts or intrusive memories. It's like creating a safe haven within yourself.
Exactly. And these practices can also help you to cultivate a sense of inner peace and resilience, which are essential for healing and growth.
This is all so fascinating. It feels like we're moving away from the idea of fixing something that's broken and towards a more holistic understanding of healing and well-being. So what other techniques should we explore?
Well, there's one more I'd like to highlight, and it's called narrative therapy. It's based on this idea that we all create stories about ourselves and our experiences. And sometimes those stories can become limiting or even harmful, especially after trauma.
So it's like our internal dialogue becomes dominated by the trauma narrative, and we start to define ourselves by what happened to us, which can be incredibly disempowering.
Exactly. Narrative therapy helps you to kind of rewrite those stories. It's not about denying or changing the facts of what happened. It's about shifting the focus from being a victim of the trauma to becoming a survivor, even a thriver.
It's like reclaiming your story, finding a new way to narrate your life's journey, one that acknowledges the pain, but also celebrates your strength, your resilience, and those moments of growth.
That's beautifully said. And that's what's so empowering about all of these techniques. They give you back that sense of agency and control over your experiences. You're not just passively reliving the trauma. You're actively engaging with it, processing it, and finding new ways to move forward.
It's inspiring to think about all the different ways people can heal from trauma. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about finding what works best for you and embracing that journey of recovery.
Absolutely. And these techniques aren't just limited to individual therapy sessions either. Trauma-informed principles are being applied in a wide range of settings, from schools and workplaces to entire healthcare systems. It's a movement that's gaining momentum, and it's changing the way we think about human behavior and well-being on a societal level.
Yeah, it really is mind-blowing to think about how these trauma-informed principles can reach beyond individual therapy, like into our communities and systems. It's like planting seeds of healing and understanding that can blossom in the most unexpected places. Where else are we seeing this shift take root?
Well, one area that's close to my heart is education. Imagine classrooms where teachers are trained to recognize the signs of trauma and respond with compassion and support.
Oh, so instead of just labeling a child as difficult or disruptive, they're taking the time to understand what might be going on beneath the surface.
Yeah, exactly. They're creating these learning environments that feel safe and predictable. For students who have experienced trauma, think about things like calming colors, designated quiet spaces, and clear routines. These can all help to reduce anxiety and foster a sense of security. These teachers are also incorporating mindfulness exercises and emotional regulation techniques into their lessons, equipping students with these valuable coping skills that they can carry with them throughout their lives.
Wow, it's incredible to think about the ripple effect that can have, not just on individual students, but on the entire school community. It's like shifting the whole culture from one of punishment to one of understanding and support.
You got it. And it's not just happening in schools. The workplace is another area where trauma-informed principles are making a huge difference.
Okay, so paint me a picture. What does a trauma-informed workplace actually look like?
Well, think flexible work arrangements, mental health days, and employee assistance programs that provide access to counseling and support. But it goes beyond just offering resources. It's about creating this culture of empathy and understanding. Managers are trained to recognize the signs of trauma and respond with compassion, not judgment.
Okay, so instead of just focusing on productivity and performance, they're prioritizing employee well-being, creating a more humane and supportive work environment.
Yeah, exactly. And the benefits are undeniable. When employees feel safe and supported, they're more engaged, they're more productive, and they're more likely to stay with the company. It's a win-win for everyone.
It's amazing how these principles can be applied in so many different contexts. Makes you wonder, where else could we be integrating trauma-informed care?
Well, healthcare settings are a natural fit. Imagine hospitals and clinics where doctors and nurses are trained to understand the impact of trauma on both physical and mental health.
So instead of just treating the symptoms, they're looking at the whole person and considering how their past experiences might be influencing their current health.
Exactly. They're asking questions like, what happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, what's wrong with you? And that shift in perspective can make all the difference in the world.
I feel like this deep dive has been such an incredible journey. We've gone from understanding the neuroscience of trauma to exploring this whole range of healing techniques, and now seeing how these principles can transform our communities and systems. It's really amazing.
It really is a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to see the momentum building around this approach. It's about recognizing the prevalence of trauma, understanding its impact, and creating a world that is more compassionate, more supportive, and more conducive to healing.
And I think the best part is it's something that we can all be a part of, whether you're a therapist, a teacher, a manager, or simply a human being interacting with other human beings. You can bring these principles of empathy and understanding into your daily life. We can all play a role in creating a world where everyone feels safe, supported, and empowered to heal and thrive.
Beautiful thought to end on. Remember, while trauma leaves its mark, healing and growth are always possible. Keep learning, keep exploring, and keep sharing this knowledge with others. Together, we can make a difference.
Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive, everyone. We'll be back next week with a brand new topic to explore together. Until then, keep diving deeper.